broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Indiana trounced in the Battle of Indiana versus Notre Dame. The Florida Gators, could they have put up a better fight than Indiana in that game? Kirk Cousins is on the noose, and we got plenty of college football playoff games and NFL games to go through this morning on Saturday Tailgate, folks. I am your host, Mike Rizzo. Joining me behind the glass is my partner, Damian Perez, this morning. Bit of a chilly morning here in West Palm, but a beautiful morning nonetheless, and there is plenty to talk about today on Saturday Tailgate. Now, I want to open up the curtain a little bit. I do a show Monday through Friday called Russo and Rizzo with Colin Russo, myself, and Christian Catton. My good buddy behind the glass, Damian Perez, was filling in for Christian yesterday, and we all made picks for this Notre Dame game. And a certain someone decided to go with Indiana plus 7.5 and the over. Damian, Indiana won this game last night, right?
How'd that go for you?
Wow. I mean, what a sucker bet. The sucker bet yesterday was Indiana with the points and the over. Now, I do want to shout out my folks at Hard Rock Bet because here's the fact of the matter. I took Indiana plus 6.5 on Hard Rock Bet. The minute that 98-yard touchdown run happened by Jeremiah Love for Notre Dame, I immediately started hopping on the live line to try to make my money back on Hard Rock Bet. Folks, you could do the same thing on Hard Rock Bet. I tell you this story all the time. My buddies came on down from Northeast Ohio. They downloaded the Hard Rock app, and they took it back with them to Cleveland. That's how much that they loved the app. Folks, download that Hard Rock Bet app today. I love the Discover page. I love the live lines. I love everything about it. You will too. That's Hard Rock Bet. That is a Hard Rock Bet app offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, folks, LLC, and all other states. Must be 21 and physically present in Florida. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. But plus 6.5, I was on the complete wrong side of that game last night. And we had the great Freddie Coleman on earlier in the week of ESPN Radio. You can listen to the Freddie and Harry show weekdays, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio. And Freddie said something that stuck out to me in this game specifically. Notre Dame is going to dominate the line of scrimmage. And golly, did they. I should have known the way, because Indiana's only game that they played all year was that game against Ohio State. And they lost the line of scrimmage battle in the second half, and they shot themselves in the foot with stupid special teams plays and turnovers. And really, the story of the first half is just how inept Indiana's offense was. Now, I know Curtis Rourke, the quarterback for Indiana, finished with two touchdowns, but that interception was a bad one. And they really, and Damian, we were talking about this in the pre-show meeting. Outside of those two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, they scored 3 points all game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned it. That interception in the first half when they were driving.
Killer!
It was just killer. It just, they were finally gaining some momentum. You know, they needed a stop. They got it. They drove down the field. And in the red zone, you throw a pick. That's unacceptable.
It's things you can't do. And in games like this, when you are already outmatched, when Notre Dame has the better players on the sideline, you can't do stupid stuff like turning the ball over and shooting yourselves in the foot like that. And Indiana was doing that the whole first half. Can I overreact a little bit?
Absolutely. You took them outright, right?
I took them outright. I took the spread. And as I told you, I had to hop on that Hard Rock live line to try to win some money back. I almost came out even. I only lost about $5 on the game last night on the Hard Rock Bet app. But, is Indiana a top 25 team?
No. I mean,
my God, are they even a ranked team?
It really came down to, they became one-dimensional last night. And in the playoffs, you can't. You can't become one-dimensional. On 27 carries, they only averaged 2.3 yards a carry. That is not going to win you games, and especially not against a team like Notre Dame in Notre Dame. So those are the situations where I feel like Indiana kind of learned from this experience. You know, coming in, this was the first time they make the playoffs. This was an unprecedented season for them. So these are things that just coming in, they'll learn. But I feel like they came in a bit cocky, a bit confident, and it showed.
Now, I think a big reason they came in confident was because of their head coach, Kirk Cignetti. And I don't know if you were watching the pregame show, Damian, but Cignetti, or excuse me, it was game day. I apologize. College game day. Kirk Cignetti joined the boys on the set. Desmond Howard, Reese Davis, and the boys. And he said something very interesting. Let's take a listen real quick. This is Kirk Cignetti on game day.
When we were little James Madison, moving up to the Sun Belt there at 22nd end of the year, we beat them 47-7.
Okay.
So we don't just beat top 25 teams, we beat the shit out of them.
Okay. Google him.
So, listen, if you're on X or Instagram and you're a sports fan, you probably saw that video of Cignetti on the game day desk with Kirk Herbstreit and the whole gang, as we already alluded to. Talking about beating the hypothetical snot out of teams that are in the top 25. Now, I want to give some context there because, Damian, you said that one of the X posts on X got flagged. He was talking about his James Madison team beating the proverbial snot out of a team, not the Indiana team. But I'm kind of done with Cignetti and his shtick.
I think that actually makes it worse. Why are you referencing what you did with JMU now that you're with Indiana? This is a brand new season, a brand new team. Like, the script is brand new. You can't bring up the past. I mean, I guess you can brag about it, but that just puts a target on your back.
Right, and we mentioned how we thought this. You mentioned that this Indiana team was a little overconfident going into this game, and it has a lot to do with the head coach. One more time, let's play Kirk Cignetti on game day yesterday, talking about top 25 teams and his history facing top 25 teams.
When we were little James Madison, moving up to the Sun Belt there at 22nd end of the year, we beat them 47-7.
Okay.
So we don't just beat top 25 teams, we beat the shit out of them.
Okay. Google him.
You can't do that.
It was 20-3 going into the fourth quarter, and at one point, 27-3. When did you turn the game off?
At that point, 27-3, because I actually had an alternate spread, plus 14.5 Indiana, and I mean, you had 6.5. I can't even imagine the sweat. I was sweating with 14.5. I thought it was over.
I nonetheless took some props during the game. I mean, dude, I was trying to make that $20 back that I risked on Hard Rock Bet, to say the least. But once I saw 27-3, I'm like, first off, I said, all right, this game stinks. I'm sure the committee is pretty upset that this was the inaugural game. And I think that's the unspoken story here, is that I think this was a bad look for the College Football Playoff committee. I don't necessarily think they had to put in Indiana. You look at the schedule, they didn't beat anybody on the schedule. They lost to the only ranked team that they played. They didn't play in the Big Ten Championship, but somehow they're in. Damian, ask me why they were put in.
Why is that?
They play in the Big Ten. That's why they were put in. They're trying to play up the big conferences, and we all saw the story of how the Big Ten and the SEC wants to put in four teams automatically. Like, four teams from that conference. We heard this story earlier on in the year, folks, if you missed the story, is that the Big Ten and the SEC got together and went to the College Football Playoff Committee and wanted to get four guaranteed spots from their conferences. There weren't four. And listen, depending on how the Buckeyes play tonight, I don't know if there were three teams, let alone four teams, that deserved to be in this College Football Playoff. If you rewind to last year, now I know it's different, 12 versus 4. Obviously, Ohio State's not getting in if they lose to Michigan at the end of the year, if it's a four game. Obviously, Indiana's not going to get in with the two losses. But this goes back to, now, I want to make this abundantly clear. I am a fan of the 12-team playoff. I think that the 12-team playoff is going to work, and I'm excited for the games coming up later on today. But when you make it 12 teams, you'll get games like this where it's really lopsided and one team really doesn't belong in it. I mean, the games today, and we're going to go over these games later on in the show in detail with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, but SMU and Penn State, Clemson and Texas, Tennessee and Ohio State. Those are the final first-round games. Obviously, Georgia gets the bye. Oregon gets the bye. But these three games are the final first-round games. I'm starting to worry about Clemson. I'm starting to worry about Clemson a little bit, and I'm really worried about SMU. If Indiana looked like that last night versus Notre Dame, and I know a lot of people nonetheless think there might be a big gap between Notre Dame and Penn State, but if this game was that lopsided with Indiana, who plays in the Big Ten, I mean, who, with all due respect to SMU and the ACC and my Hurricane fans and Florida State fans that might be visiting here, the ACC is worse than the Big Ten. I think as a collective, the ACC's teams are probably better than the Big Ten teams this year, but the top-heavy teams in the Big Ten, they can't even sniff. The ACC teams can't even sniff the top-heavy big teams in the Big Ten, like Oregon, like Ohio State, like Penn State, and dare I say even Indiana. But I am worried that a couple of these games might be a little lopsided. But folks, I do want to remind you again about our friends at Hard Rock Bet. I had a fantastic time gambling on the game last night, even though I was on the losing end. And folks, that's the beauty about Hard Rock Bet. Like, if you know, if you had your come to moment watching that game last night, my come to moment that I knew I was on the wrong end of the bet was a 98 yard touchdown run by Jeremiah Love. You could get on the live line. You could try to save your skin a little bit on Hard Rock Bet if you find yourself on the wrong side of that. And you could do it now by downloading that Hard Rock app, folks, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. You must be physically present in Florida to wager. Must be 21. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMINUT. Now, the Florida Gators played yesterday, and I want to poise a question to the listeners this morning. We'll go through the other college football playoff games later on in the show. Kate Chumslin, my co-host, who's usually with me behind the other side of the glass, he is on vacation. He sent me his games in, and for those of you who aren't familiar with what Kate and I do with Hard Rock Bet, we make picks against the spread. We pick three NFL games, and then at the end of the show, we'll also pick two college games. So five games total. Kate sent me his games. Damian has his games on the other side of the glass. But we will be making picks, and we will all be making picks in the NFL, and we will be making picks in college coming up a little later on in the show. But I do want to get to that Florida game, because, Damien, are you aware, you know, the Gators, what was the final score? 33-8? 33-8? That was a 6-0 game at halftime. And DJ Lagway, the freshman quarterback, the former five-star quarterback for Florida, had two interceptions at the half. But with a tremendous second half, the Gators were able to pull away in that Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa Bay. And I posed the question earlier in the show, out of all the Florida teams, I think the Gators at this point in how they're playing, I think they would have played the best in the college football playoff out of all the Florida teams in the state.
Yeah, and we saw it even at the end of the season with DJ Lagway. That team just completely made a U-turn. Just a complete U-turn. The entire team bought in. And even last night, 529 yards of offense, mm-hmm. and they held Tulane to only 194. So you see they're playing good on both sides, not just on one, like you saw with Miami. They're playing good on offense and on defense. So I completely agree. If there were a Florida team in the playoffs, it should have been the Gators.
Now, I do want to give Tulane some credit, because they lost their star quarterback to the transfer portal, who went to Duke, and he was the number one quarterback in the portal. Like, it's funny, I say he was the number one quarterback in the portal, and then the Washington State kid announced he wanted to go. He was supposed to go to Miami. He ends up going elsewhere. He was the quote-unquote number one player in the portal. You're not the number one player in the portal, and you're the number one player in the portal until another player decides to enter
until
the portal.
Until the next morning.
Correct. So that's just the college football in 2024 that we have. But credit to Billy Napier, did you hear what Napier did to us on, by the way, folks, Russo and Rizzo, listen to myself and Colin Russo Monday through Friday show, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Did you hear what Napier did to us?
No, but how about Billy Napier? I mean, he started the season as the favorite first head coach to be fired. So, I mean, the credit, the turnaround that he had with this Florida Gators is absolutely resounding.
Napier big dogged us. He was supposed to come on the air with us. And 10 minutes before the interview, his people reached out and said, sorry, mate, something came up. They can no longer do it.
That was on Russo and Rizzo?
It was on Russo and Rizzo on Thursday.
What a dagger. I feel like he owes
on
you guys
Thursday.
One.
Oh, he definitely owes this one. And if Billy's friends are listening in the area, we would love to reschedule with Coach Napier, because I think Deeb put it as good as anybody. That guy was a dead man walking in Gainesville. Dead man walking. I mean, the game against Miami alone, people were calling for his job. And to be fair, like, tension, it's always the I could argue the hardest game to play. The hardest game to play on the schedule is that first game of the season. You don't know what you're going to get from the, if you're a younger roster, kind of like how Florida was this year, you don't know what you're going to get out of your young players. You're still trying to find your footing. I know you had, nonetheless, 2 months to try to figure things out. But there's a big difference between game speed and practice speed. And certainly Florida, in my opinion, did not look like they were ready for the task. And obviously getting bamboozled by the Miami Hurricanes and Cam Ward that opening game. You had recruits, you had recruits at the game, and you had Miami players telling them you're going to the wrong school in Florida after the game. It was just a giant mess. And it looked like Napier wasn't going to last long throughout the year. And then you played Georgia tough. Oh, and then you win a couple of big games. And then you beat LSU. And then all of a sudden you're getting your flowers and you're getting the backing from the AD. So I really think it was a great turnaround by Napier. Here are the losses that they suffered early on in the year. It was Miami and Texas A&M. Say what you want about Miami. Damian, I know I just said the ACC teams really probably wouldn't have a chance against the top-heavy Big Ten teams, but I think last night we learned Indiana was not a top-heavy Big Ten team like the Oregons, the Penn States, and the Ohio States. But I'd probably rather seen Miami play Notre Dame in that game. I'm going to be the first one to say it.
I mean, to that
I'm
going to
be the first one to say it.
If we look at the Gators' schedule to end the year, they went Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. That's a huge difference from what we saw from SMU's schedule.
And I'm going to argue, too, Florida State, I know they were bad this year. That's tough going on the road in a rivalry game. So I'm going to throw them on that, too. Damian, I thought Florida had the toughest schedule in the NCAA outside of Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the three toughest schedules in college football this year, Georgia, Florida, and Oklahoma. I think those are the three toughest teams, the three teams who had the toughest schedules in college football. And the Gators were able to rattle off three wins in a row. They beat ranked LSU, and then they shocked the world against Ole Miss. They held Lane Kiffin out of the playoff. You know, Ole Miss gets that huge win, I believe, against Georgia at home. Yeah, Ole Miss beats Georgia at home. They go on a bye, and then they lose to Florida at Florida in the Swamp. Now, Jackson Dart played really bad. And listen, I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about the guy, but Damian, I personally love Lane Kiffin. I think he's hysterical. I think he's one of those guys who I would love to just,
yeah.
I don't drink, but I would love to like go out with
have
them and quote unquote, the hypothetical have a beer while I drink my soda water. But Lane's an awesome dude. And I felt really bad for Lane and Ole Miss watching Jackson Dart throw interception after interception in that game. But back to Florida and the question I wanted to pose. So 888-760-3776. Folks, that is 888-760-3776. I have a question for the callers. I want you guys to call in and tell me what you think. Who's going to be the first Florida team in the 12-team college football playoff? Who is going to be the first Florida team in the college football playoff? That is 888-760-3776. Is it going to be Billy Napier's resurgent Florida Gators? Is it going to be Mario Cristobal's Miami Hurricanes? Is Mike Norvell going to figure things out for Florida State? Could it be UCF? Could it be USF? I personally think it's either going to be Florida or Miami. I'll give you my answer coming up next here on Saturday tailgate. Now, I got to make some picks against the spread. I got to make some picks against the spread on the NFL side of things. And also, Damian has some breaking news about Kirk Cousins, folks. Kirk Cousins, the rumor is that he's not going to be an Atlanta Falcon at the start of next year. So once again, folks, 888-760-3776. I'm asking today, after the Gators' big win in the Gasparilla Bowl and the college football playoff game, the 12-team inaugural college football playoff game getting kicked off last night in Indiana and Notre Dame. I'm asking today, who's going to be the first Florida team in the college football playoff? Who's going to be the first Florida team in the college football playoff? 888-760-3776. We'll take a couple of calls, and we'll go to the NFL side on the flip side of things on Saturday Tailgate with Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez on ESPN 106.3.
From the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Indiana and Cignetti, a bunch of phonies. The Gators are for real. And Kirk Cousins' time in Atlanta is coming to an end. Mike Rizzo here, folks. Saturday Tailgate. I got my buddy Damian Perez behind the glass on the ones and twos. And, folks, I got to tell you about my partners at X Golf. You want to know the really cool thing about X Golf? There's so much stuff to do. Folks, join a league with 2 to 3 or 4 people on a team and play weekly on the world's best golf simulators. And the golf simulators are out of this world. Like, I feel like the golf simulator, if you have a buddy who's not very good at golf and is kind of learning, I feel like the place to start are the simulators. So get on over to X Golf, check out those golf simulators, have some fun with your buddies. You could join a league, as I said, 2 people, 3 people, 4 people. Fall, winter, and spring leagues are available at most locations. Check your local X Golf for teammate options and league details. And also, folks, you got to check out the sports bar. The sports bar is a must-to and go-to at X Golf in West Palm Beach. And if you are one of those newer players that I mentioned, you could get trained by PGA-certified experts supported by the world's most cutting-edge training technology with those golf simulators and the V1 Pro Golf. You could do birthday parties, bachelor parties. X Golf is where the fun is. Get to X Golf, folks, and also enjoy. I mentioned the bar. The bar also has mouth-watering, shareable menu items. Explore a range of craft brews and sip on refreshing cocktails at X Golf's full sports bar. And don't forget, it's that time of the year. Get your gift cards. If you know that golfer in your family, folks, get the gift card for X Golf for the holiday season. You'll thank me later. That's X Golf, folks, a proud partner of Saturday Tailgate. Now, I want to open the curtain up a little bit, too. Kate Chumslin, my co-host here on Saturday Tailgate, we make picks in the NFL against the spread. It's 3 picks in the NFL against the spread. And Damian, we're doing a fun little contest with so we do the spreads through Hard Rock Bet, our good partners at Hard Rock Bet, folks. Download that app today. We have a fantastic time gambling on games. And in my opinion, the best betting app that you could have out there. But we make picks against the spreads with the spreads from Hard Rock. And at the end of the NFL year, Cade and I are going to see who's in front and who's behind, and the loser is going to have to get him an X Golf gift card.
Uh-oh.
And you know how good of a golfer Cade is.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to get on over to X Golf with Cade. I can't wait to have some fun at the golf simulators. And you know, I mentioned those gift cards, folks. I mean, if you're really, like, say you have a dad who golfs. Say if, like, a son listening, a daughter listening, and you're just like, God, I never know what to get my dad. Well, if he's a golfer, man, he is going to love X Golf. So make sure you take advantage of those gift cards. And we're doing the same thing here on Saturday Tailgate with Cade and I doing our little, picks against the spread segment in the NFL. Now, D, we do have to make picks with me. I got to make my 3 picks against the NFL spread. You have Kate's picks on your side.
I do.
But before we get into all that, partner, I mentioned Kirk Cousins, and we were in our pre-show meeting, and you bursted in the production studio. Riz, we got breaking news. Let's hear it.
So Kirk Cousins has been... Sorry.
No, you're good. Nonetheless...
I got to hear.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons are expected to cut quarterback Kirk Cousins before March 17th when the $10 million roster bonus is due, and that's per Adam Schefter.
This is big news because...
Huge.
Obviously, the Falcons drafted Michael Penix, and at the time, I was one of these people. I got to say, I was one of the people that was really questioning the Michael Penix move by the Falcons because they paid all that money for Kirk Cousins. And I even want to go more into detail on this. So this is per ESPN. There's no need for the Falcons to absorb any more costs for quarterbacks who they have paid $90 million for 14 games. So and to Damian's point, this really sounds like a money thing. And I think they've definitely seen enough of Cousins to where they want him out. They want him gone, and they want to focus on what they think is their franchise quarterback in Michael Penix Jr. So Kirk Cousins out in Atlanta per Adam Schefter. Michael Penix going to be starting his first NFL game of the season and of his career. I like it. I thought they should have moved off of Cousins last week.
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, this is a great move. You know, you're saving money. You're getting the new exciting quarterback into the game. But from a player's perspective,
right?
This do you think they did right by Kirk Cousins with this move?
Oh, God, no. God, no. This is a direct slap in the face to Kirk Cousins. But here's the good news, Damian. A lot of teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins. Yep. You know, not every team is going to be able to fix their quarterback situation in the draft or in free agency. Like, do you think of I think there's one quarterback in this year's draft, and it's probably Shadur. Do I think Shadur is going to be good in the NFL? TBD, but he has the most upside. Like, Carson Beck was supposed to be a first-round pick. He's got an injured shoulder, and you're not even a fan of Beck.
No.
You don't see it in Beck.
He should probably play another college season, in all honesty.
I tend to agree with you, but I apologize to our listeners. I don't know off the top of my head if he even is eligible for another year in college. I'm sure he is because, you know, there's workarounds, I feel like, to everything when it comes to staying in college now. But nonetheless, man, this is a huge move for the Falcons, and I'm all for it. Do I feel bad for Kirk? Not really, because a team is going to take a chance on him who needs that bridge quarterback before they find their franchise quarterback. The problem is it's going to be a little pricey because of the money he's on and the contract. Yeah, you know, I mean, with that deal, it's not going to be, let me say this, it's not going to be what Atlanta was going to have to owe him next year, but it's still going to be some money that you're not going to be able to spend elsewhere.
I think it would be a vet minimum at this point.
We'll see. We'll look more into that Kirk Cousins situation. But nonetheless, I wanted to mention it here on Saturday Tailgate. Once again, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez behind the glass. Now, I got to make some picks against the spread. First off, I told you guys, myself and Kate Chums, my co-host who isn't here today, three NFL games. We do it until the end of the NFL season. The loser buys an X-Golf gift card. Damian, give me the games that Kate picked against the spread where they're good friends at Hard Rock Bet.
All right, we'll start with the NFL. So, Kate, to begin, he's got Detroit Lions -6.5. He's got the LA Rams -3. He's got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -3.5. Those were his three NFL games. Now he's got two college football games, and we're going to start with Tennessee. He's going to take the points +7.5. And Texas -12.5.
Okay, so Cade has his picks in. I got to make some NFL picks. Now, Damian, I'm a little, I wanted to take the Lions. Colin Russo and I, as I said, our show, Russo and Rizzo, Monday through Friday here on ESPN 106.3. We have a picks contest as well against the other show, theoretically speaking, 2-4. Listen to my guy Theo Dorsey and Christian Catt from 2-4. We make picks against each other. It's called Punchline Picks. Yep. The loser has to do stand-up comedy. We picked the Lions, and I was going to go with the Lions -6.5. I really like the Lions in this game a lot. I think the Bears are a mess.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I know the game's in Chicago, but I mean, and I also know the Lions are pretty banged up on defense, but that's not going to stop them from scoring. No. The Lions are going to put up points in this game, and I don't think Chicago can keep up. Caleb Williams has not found his bearings yet in the NFL. I feel like he holds on to the ball too long. And that's kind of a death sentence against this Lions team who loves the rush. So I completely agree. I love the 6.5 and taking the Lions.
Now, Damian, I think Cade did his homework because I love Tampa Bay too.
Yep.
I love that 3.5 line for the Buccaneers.
What's not to love about Tampa Bay and the Bucs? Yeah. I mean, Baker Mayfield, it's just a team that you just love to root for.
Dallas too, like Cooper Rush, backup quarterback. They're playing Dallas. And his final pick, the Rams. I'm not necessarily jumping through hoops to take this game, but especially with how well Aaron Rodgers has played the last couple of weeks. It's a home game for the Jets.
How about And I know you're a Cleveland Browns fan, but how about Cincinnati in a desperation spot with the Browns benching Winston, which I think is the best chance at winning a game, and starting DTR?
Can I give you a pro tip? The Browns play the Bengals very well.
Yeah, it's an in-division game.
They always do. I mean, me being very close, obviously, to that Browns situation, they always play the Bengals well.
But I mean, to push back a little bit,
I'm going to stay away from that game.
DTR starting. Nick Chubb is down. I believe Cedric Tillman is still in concussion protocol.
He is. The Browns are a mess, and they want to lose games.
And the Bengals are in a desperate spot. They have to win. They can't lose. They can't afford.
There's a pathway for the Bengals to make the playoffs. If Kansas City loses one of their next two games and has to play starters in that final game of the regular season against Denver, I think, you know, and obviously it all comes down to Denver. Denver's going to have to lose two out of three, but there is a path for the Bengals, may it be slim. I think I found my first game, D.
What's that?
I'm going San Francisco plus one. And I apologize to all my Miami Dolphin fans in the area, but I really like San Fran in this game. Tua has looked really bad in this.
Waddle.
I mean, four turnovers, three interceptions, one lost fumble. I apologize for Tua in that last game. I think no matter what, a Kyle Shanahan team is always going to be fighting till the bitter end. I know, nonetheless, San Francisco most likely out of the playoff race, but I'm going to go with San Francisco plus one. So let's get that locked in. By the way, these spreads are coming from our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. And then next, I'm going to go with Buffalo minus 14. I think Josh Allen at home against the New England Patriots. The Patriots, I said they were going to be the worst team in the NFL heading into the year. Lo and behold, they're like third or fourth on that list just because of how bad the Jags are, how bad the Raiders are, how bad the Browns are. But I still think New England is a pretty bad football team. I'm going to go with the Bills minus 14. And then D, on the third, I'm going to go with Atlanta minus 9.
I love that pick.
I'm going to ride with Atlanta and the, you know, let's call it, D, first off, I want to get something out of the way. We are two huge soccer fans. We call it the new manager bounce.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it the new quarterback bounce. I think with Michael Penix and that offense, I think that offense is going to get back on track. And going into the draft, I was one of the people who thought Caleb Williams was a no doubt number one. I thought Jaden Daniels was number two. I thought I had Penix three. I had Penix as the third best quarterback coming into the draft because he has a lot of college experience. He played at Indiana. He went to a national championship at Washington. I think there's something to be said about Penix starting for the Falcons. So those are my three NFL games. San Francisco plus one, Buffalo minus 14, and Atlanta minus 9. I got big spreads on here, D. I do. I got big spreads on here, but how bad are the Giants?
They're horrible.
They're worse than bad. And Brian Daboll and Sheen, the GM there, they're doing their best to try to get fired at season's end. If you remember, the owner came out and said that Dable's coming back and the GM's coming back. If they continue to lose games in dramatic fashion, they might not be coming back.
I think that GM, what's his name, Sheen? Giant?
Yeah, Sheen.
Sheen, he should have been fired the minute Saquon Barkley signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, because that's the minute that he caused there's no balance now, I feel like, in that division. The Eagles are the best team by far. The Giants lost not just the best player, but just from a marketing perspective, from a locker room perspective. Mm-hmm. You just can't let a player like Saquon Barkley walk, and even less to your bitter rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles, who all they needed was a running back.
I mean, Damien, they have nothing offensively. They have nothing offensively. Their whole offense for the last 3 years was Saquon Barkley.
They have pieces. The Giants
have neighbors, but
neighbors. I think Tyrone Tracy is also a pretty good running back, converted wide receiver.
Fair enough. But they are inept at the quarterback position.
That's where it gets really bad.
With I was about to say no stars. Like, I think neighbors can emerge as a star, but you need to get them the ball. 35-14, they lost to the Ravens last week. And we took that 16.5 point spread on Russo and Rizzo, and they were they were able to cover that, but nonetheless, those are my picks. San Francisco plus one, Buffalo minus 14, Atlanta minus 9. Those spreads are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. And once again, Kate and I are competing, and the loser of our competition is going to have to get a gift card to X Golf. Get on out to X Golf, folks. Some of the best simulators in the world. Great place to go for a drink and have bachelor parties, etc. Folks, X Golf is the spot to be. We talked a lot earlier about the Indiana game and Notre Dame. If you're just joining us, folks, Indiana are phonies. They're frauds. My big takeaway was, is Indiana even a top 25 team? Probably. But they're definitely not a top 12 team. Their coach certainly thought that they were a team that was worthy of taking on Notre Dame in this game. And Cignetti spoke on College Game Day before the game, talking about his team against top 25 teams. Now, I do want to give some context. He mentions his team that he coached previously at James Madison. Obviously, Indiana did not beat a top 25 team all year, but Kurt Cignetti talked about how his teams in the past have had success about top 25 teams. Cignetti, take it away.
When we were little James Madison, moving up to the Sun Belt there, 22nd end of the year, we beat them 47-7.
Okay.
So we don't just beat top 25 teams, we beat the shit out of them.
Okay. Google him.
Wow. I still can't believe that he said that. I mean, this is, you're a coach of a university. Like, I'm not sitting here taking... I want to get one thing straight. I'm not hashtag high-hatting. I'm not high-hatting Cignetti. Like, I understand this is the kind of coach he is, but that's an interesting way to go going into the biggest game of your career.
I think it's very... Like, if you're Indiana, you want to embrace being the underdog. You don't want to pose yourself as this villain team because you're not. You're not that. You're a team who's just now breaking the scene, so you want to have that almost sense of humility. I feel like they would have been better off embracing the underdog role instead of going into the media, going in front of cameras and just talking with your chest out. That's kind of what, I don't know if it played in their favor, but I want to pose a question to you.
Yeah.
Where do you think Indiana goes from here?
Well,
you know, it's been mentioned they were a basketball school. Do you think they make that transition to both basketball and football after this devastating loss?
Well, with how bad the basketball team has looked this year under Mike Woodson after having a great transfer portal, I think it's already starting to turn a little bit. And Indiana, I think, is going to have a better team next year, believe it or not. I think Cignetti is going to get more of, quote-unquote, his players into the system, and I think they will be better next year. To your point, let's save the rah-rah, we're Indiana, you can't beat us until you actually prove something. Indiana proved this year that they could turn things around quickly, but they didn't prove that they're a top team. Like, no. I know they made the 12-team playoff, and that's their quote-unquote Christmas, but they did not beat a good team all year, and I don't even think Cignetti could take a victory lap. He could take a victory lap for getting the program back to relevance. I think that's there, but you can't take a victory lap because you can't take the full lap. How about this? You could take half of a lap because you got back on the map. That rhymed. But you can't take a full victory lap because who did you beat?
No, and not only did they not beat a big team, but they didn't even compete. Against Ohio State, what was the score? 35-15?
Yep.
Blowout last night. I know it ended in a 10-point game, but it was really 27-3.
Yeah, I don't care about those garbage touchdowns at the end of the game.
There's just no competition.
You and I both turned the game off at 27-3 because we knew there was no avenue for victory in that game. Folks, I mentioned Christmas, and it is Christmas time. This holiday season, folks, make it a real Christmas with real Christmas trees. Folks, this is the last day. This is the last day to take advantage of this awesome deal for a buy one tree and get one free at select lots across South Florida. So, folks, buy a real Christmas tree and get one free. It is the last day to do this. Check out ChristmasTreeForFree.com. That is ChristmasTreeForFree.com to find the lot nearest you. Like I said, if you're looking for a last-minute tree and a real one to make your Christmas unforgettable, you got to go to ChristmasTreeForFree.com. Buy one tree, get another free. Get one for your grandparents. Get one for your mother, your father. Get one for your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your brother, whoever it may be, folks. It's buy one tree, get one free. Make it an unbelievable and unforgettable Christmas with real Christmas trees. That is ChristmasTreeForFree.com. D, I always know I'm heading home tomorrow. I have a funny story about that, by the way. I'm heading home tomorrow, and I always know it's Christmas time even as a kid walking into the house from school. Oh, mom went out and got the tree because it smells like a real Christmas tree in the house. Growing up, we always had real Christmas trees. We had always had a big ceremony with it. Mom would bring out the boxes of ornaments. My granny would come over and do the tinsel on the tree. One of the boys would hang the star on the tree. And my brother and I both get home tomorrow, and it's our job to put the star on the tree. So I'm looking forward to that coming up. Make it a real Christmas with real Christmas trees. Buy one tree, get one free. Christmas tree for free. Com. Now, I also mentioned that it's winter time. It's football time. We're going through all these NFL games. We're going through all these college football playoff games. Make Twin Peaks your headquarters, folks, to watch your favorite teams all season long. And let's put it this way. All playoff season long in the NFL and college. Whether they win or lose, you still end up a winner with each drink, scenic views, and Twin Peaks beautiful 29-degree ice-cold beer. Enjoy some made-from-scratch favorites while enjoying all the action. If you can't make it for all the games, that's good. Come for the man-sized $5 happy hour drafts and enjoy select appetizers as well. The ultimate guys watch for football is Twin Peaks. I mean, there's no better time. Truly no better time to get on out to Twin Peaks with the college. We have three college football playoff games coming up tonight, today and then later on tonight. Go to Twin Peaks, man. You could go there for 8 straight hours. You could be there from 12 to 8 and have a great time at Twin Peaks. Make it your playoff home. That is Twin Peaks. Folks, we're going to take a timeout, but when we come back, I have to take two college games. We're going to take a look again at the spreads brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. And I'm going to take two college games coming up tonight. We already have Cade Chumslin's games, Tennessee +7.5, Texas -12. I'll tell you what I like when we return right here on Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Well, I woke up this morning thinking I had a late afternoon flight in Fort Lauderdale. Well, it turns out I forgot I booked it for Sunday and not Saturday. Welcome on in. Our final segment, Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo here. Damian Perez with me as well, behind the glass. We talked a lot about Indiana and Kirk Cignetti being hashtag phonies. We talked about the Gators dominating in the Gasparilla Bowl. Kirk Cousins out in Atlanta. Done. Finito. Bye-bye. Going to be cut before that March deadline to save some money. Michael Penix, the quarterback moving forward for Atlanta. We picked games, NFL games against the spread. Brought to you by our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Packed show today. I woke up and I thought I had a flight in Lauderdale. Have you ever done that? Did you ever think a flight was? Now, I'm a hashtag idiot because I bought the flight and I booked it. And for some reason, I thought it was on Saturday. It's tomorrow.
I mean, you looked it's out tomorrow. For yourself, really.
Because I woke up this morning. I'm like, dude, I got to check into the flight, this and that. Then I go, you know, wipe the windshield wipers of the sleepy sands in my eyes. Oh, it's Sunday.
I mean, as a Buckeyes fan, I feel like a flight at, 6 p.m. tonight would have been tragic.
But I had to have the tough conversation. And by the way, can I say something? Like, my friends are ridiculous sometimes, and I'm not going to mention him by name, but his wife sent out, like, this website invitation for his 30th birthday party, because I'm ancient, and I turned 30 in October. I go under the assumption not to tell anybody about my birthdays anymore because I don't want people to know how old I am, but I am 30
years
old.
Not exciting anymore.
No, but his wife, God bless her heart, she's an absolute sweetheart. Honest to God, I probably need someone like her in my life, but honey, I don't need an e-invitation to a 30th birthday party with the whole kit and caboodle. All right, and that is tonight, and I'm missing it, and I'm on Santa's naughty list because I'm missing it. But folks, do you want to know what you don't want to miss out on? That's Twin Peaks. It's playoff season, folks. It's playoff season. Be a winner at Twin Peaks with drinks, scenic views, and Twin Peaks' beautiful 29-degree ice-cold beer. Enjoy some man-made food items from scratch while enjoying all the action. If you can't make it for all the games, that's fine. You got to come in, though, for the man-sized $5 happy hour drafts and enjoy select appetizers as well. The ultimate guys' lodge for Twin Peaks, or excuse me, for football is Twin Peaks. The ultimate guys' lodge is not my buddy's 30th birthday party sent to me in an e-invitation and has a website. No. You're going to Twin Peaks tonight to watch the big games. I'm going to head on over there tonight. I will see you there. I got to make these picks. I got to make these college picks.
Yeah,
now,
stop buying time.
Listen, 30th birthday party. We're 30. Website invitation. E-invitation. RSVPs. I had to RSVP if I'm coming to this thing or not. We're 30. What are we? Is this a 15? Is this a 18th, 21st, 15th birthday party? My God, they're bringing presents. I'm supposed to come there with my favorite story? Like, what are we doing? People have too much time on their hands. Don't these people work? What were Cade's college picks?
So, after your little rant, we got Tennessee +7.5 and Texas -12.5.
I'm going to make this really easy. I'm going opposite. I'm absolute opposite
on
all
strategy.
These. Listen, I talked to the powers above. Apparently, I talk a little bit about my teams too much. So I like the Buckeyes, obviously, and I can't not root for them. So I'm going to go with the Buckeyes -7.5, and I'm going with Clemson +12. But, D, I should be a little worried about Clemson, I think, after that.
Yeah,
after the Indiana game.
I mean, going into it, I thought the underdogs were going to, you know, shine in this playoff tournament. I don't know if they would win, but I thought they would at least keep it somewhat competitive, maybe see an upset here and there. But, I mean, after the Indiana game, they just, I don't know if the underdogs are going to compete against these big teams.
Do the Buckeyes win tonight?
Yes. Yes, yes. I actually picked the Buckeyes.
Close, right? You think close?
It'll be low scoring, but in the end, I think the Buckeyes will cover.
Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. Once again, thank you to all of our great partners, Hard Rock Bet, X Golf, Twin Peaks, Real Christmas Trees. Show would not be possible without all of our great sponsors. Thank you to my buddy behind the glass, Damian Perez. D's going to be joining us throughout the Saturday tailgate season here. Once again, Mike Rizzo and usually Kate Chumslin in the building, hoping to get all three of us in here coming up on the new year. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll catch you. D, I go home. I'm not going to be here next Saturday. We'll catch you in 2 weeks, folks. You have been listening to Saturday Tailgate, Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez.
Hey, my name is...